Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, Professional Canine Training Center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome, everybody. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media, and brought to you by Denver Dog Works. It is Saturday, June 18th, 2010. And we're in the middle of summer, and we are pre-recording this show because I am in California this weekend looking at a musher's property and taking some dogs out for a training run. I am here with my co-host and business partner, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great, and I hope that your trip to California goes off without a hitch.
You know, I got to be there tomorrow morning at 4 a.m., so I'm not looking forward to it, but luckily you have to get up with me and drive me to the airport.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's lucky.
So we'll see. We will see what goes on in California this weekend, and then the following 2 weeks from then we'll be up in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm taking my daughter up there that weekend to check out another property in Willow, Alaska.
Right, and for you fans of the Dog Doctor Radio Show, you all remember Nicole. She is the junior dog doctor.
Dog Doctor Junior Nicole, she is taking her first flight to Anchorage, Alaska. Should be a lot of fun. It's going to be a really quick trip up and back, just spending a few days up there, but it should be what they call the land of the midnight sun, so we're looking forward to it.
Well, first flight round trip will encompass 16 hours of flying for her, so I think that she will be more than earning her wings.
There you go. We'll take the iPad and let her watch a video or two. So today we're going to talk about a couple of subjects that we mentioned last week on the Dog Doctor Radio Show. We're going to talk about pit bulls, service dogs, and the breed ban. And then right after the break, we're going to talk about a subject that a lot of people don't want to hear about, but it's about animal abuse. As we've said many times here on the Dog Doctor Radio Show, we don't like to just sugarcoat everything and talk about what everybody else is talking about on media. We're talking about the topics that mean the most to dog owners. Michelle, what do you have to say about that?
You know, it's going to be a hard subject matter today, but we're going to break it up as much as we can. We are also going to talk about something that's very important here in Denver as well as across the country in the summer months, and that is heat stroke with your dog.
You know, it's I think about 95 degrees today. It's Thursday here in Denver, and it is a hot one. I am not used to this at all, and I can't wait to figure out what the weather's like in other parts of the country as well.
Absolutely.
You know, I was visiting with my client today who is firmly entrenched in Denver, Colorado, and we were sitting there talking about Alaska, and she said, why in the world do you want to move up there where it snows all the time? I said, it's not snowing right now. It's 41 degrees in Willow and rainy. So there's a big difference between Denver, Colorado, and Willow, Alaska.
You know, and that's very true. Part of the reason why Nicole is going up there is for that very reason. She's never been. She's really nervous about going. She has the same predisposition beliefs about Alaska as you did about coming to Colorado.
Well, I think we'll do some education for the young dog, Dr. Junior, while I'm up there. And, you know, one other thing, just touching on Alaska, when we are up there in a few days, I was taking some pictures on a hike that I was doing yesterday, and I posted on Facebook on the picture, should I leave this beautiful site to run dogs in the wilds of Alaska? And some people commented, of course you should. It looks exactly the same in the summer.
You know, and that's very true, but you are traveling to my home state, and actually you're traveling to my backyard for where I grew up, and you're going to notice it is very much the same as it is here in Colorado in the lower elevations and the valleys. But as you go up higher into Yosemite National Park and Sierra National Forest, you're going to see it's a little bit different. It's much more lush. The plantation there is much different.
You know, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning at 5 a.m. We're taking out a dog team And I don't think there's any snow up there. Our guest on Sunday is going to be April Wood, and she is the person I'm going to go visit. And she took a drive up to the snow park up there, and she said there's just very little snow left, but we're going to take the carts out at a little bit lower elevation and really run some sled dogs there on the training cart. So I'm looking forward to that so much.
Let's hope that she has a tag-along person to take some good photos.
I hope so. She is the webmaster for Sierra Nevada Dog Drivers, so we're looking forward to having some pictures. I'm sure she will have a digital camera or two. Anything else going on? Before we get into our topics, Michelle, what's going on at the wild and wonderful Denver Dog Works?
Well, you know, I am the dog training examiner writer here locally in Denver, and I would like to encourage people to get out there and read my articles about my service dogs right now that I'm choosing to write about because I have permission from their owners. The adventures of Alaric continue. He did have a pre-public access test today, and he did pretty good. Another dog, Toby, he is our Every Dog Has Its Day dog. Thank you to Toby Keith for the wonderful song. It really fit this little guy to a T. And I encourage everybody out there to give that a read and get with me regarding Toby if you've got any ideas for us for raising money for her to pay for the training for this little dog. She's running into some problems with that, and I'm just putting it out there because I told her that I would.
And, you know, on next week's Dog Doctor Radio Show, we're going to have on the speakers from Bark World. We're taking part in that in August. And I tell you what, if you haven't signed up for Bark World Expo yet, I need you to get out there and do that, barkworldexpo.com. We're going to start our kickoff of our Iditarod sponsorship tour at the Bark World Conference in Atlanta. I've spoken to the event promoters there, and we're looking forward to really kicking this Iditarod sponsorship thing off at Bark World Expo in Atlanta, Georgia, on the 20th through the 22nd of August.
Wow, so we're going to be looking at back-to-back-to-back-to-back trips this summer.
That's what they make airline miles for. But as we're talking about Bark World Expo, next weekend we're going to have on several speakers for the expo, and I'm going to be a speaker there, and we're going to have somebody from the American Humane Society and several other pet book authors and things like that. So we're looking forward to having several guests on our show on next week's Dog Doctor Radio Show that can be heard 9:30 a.m. every Saturday morning in the Mountain Time, or you can download us anytime on blogtalkradio.com/dogworks.
And upcoming, I have some shows regarding animal-assisted therapy and a very unique company that's being started here in Colorado called Colorado Animal Assisted Therapy. And I will get into more of that later on, but it's basically a group of therapists that are having therapy teams come to them and do sessions in their facility. It's a little bit different than your traditional Delta Society and Children's Hospital therapy dog visits.
And on July 10th, we're going to have on Nicholas Goodman, the producer of Kyle Warren's movie, Canine Instinct. So we're looking very forward to that. And Mr. Goodman and I have talked several times about doing some Iditarod and qualifying races documentaries for us, too. So we're going to really kick this Iditarod thing off very quickly here in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. And also I'd like to remind everybody that we will have two introduction shows coming up for our brand-new contract trainers. That is Leah Morse, who will be handling a lot of our Borden trains in the future. And our son, Kyle Forto, has come back out of the woodwork, and he is going to pursue his dog training career at Denver Dog Works.
And one last announcement, starting on the July 3rd of the Dog Doctor Radio Show, we're bringing on Dr. Holly Cogswell from Aurora Animal Hospital. She's going to be a weekly guest on the Dog Doctor Radio Show doing what we call the Ask a Vet Minute. And we can ask questions for Dr. Cogswell on our website and through Twitter at Denver Dog Works, at Denver Dog Works on Twitter. Michelle, anything else before we get started?
No, I think it sounds good. I think we've more than given everybody a chance to figure out what's going on in the upcoming weeks.
So make sure you hit that favorite button on blogtalkradio.com/dogworks, and you will get a reminder in your inbox box every week for the Dog Doctor Radio Show. Michelle, kick it off with pit bulls, service dogs, and the breed ban.
As a service dog trainer and also living in the pit bull prison of the world, Denver, Colorado, I am seeing more and more people trying to skirt around the rules of the breed ban and train their pit bull and pit bull mixes as service dogs. Denver's ABC affiliate, Channel 7, highlighted a story on pit bulls, service dogs, and the breed ban. You can read their story on their website. That's channel7.com. I have trained several service dogs for varying afflictions, including psychiatric and post-traumatic stress disorders. I have trained several pit bulls in obedience and advanced disciplines. My husband, Dr. Robert Forto, PhD, is a canine behaviorist with an emphasis in canine aggression. In the past 10 years, living and working here in Denver, he has had one pit bull in his behavior modification program. One. That being said, I feel any dog who is temperamentally sound and capable of undertaking the rigorous training to become a service dog should be allowed to work as a service dog. The Channel 7 report is correct in its statements that there is not any certifying agency regulating service dogs and the standards for which announces them as such. I have met several people who bring me their dogs, from Chihuahuas to German Shepherds. My job as a professional is to determine the validity of their request to train and certify their dog as a service animal and to determine if the dog they are choosing is appropriate and capable to perform the duties necessary. Many of you know that I own and operate Denver Dog Works. I am a certified dog trainer, American Kennel Club Canine Good Citizen Evaluator, Service Animal Registry of America Trainer and Evaluator, Foundation for Service Dog Support Trainer and Evaluator. My approach to training service dogs and certifying rests solely on my reputation and ethics. I have not trained a pit bull for service work. The breeds I typically choose and find to be the most appropriate for both the individual and for the public perspective are Golden Retrievers, Labradors, and German Shepherds. I currently have a Siberian Husky enrolled in my service program. This is considered an unusual breed for service work, just as the pit bull. Society, however, will overlook the unusualness of the Siberian Husky in a service vest to where they will not overlook the unusualness and alarm of that of a pit bull.
And, you know, the most appropriate line in that entire commentary there, Michelle, was living in the pit bull prison of the world. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, we've done a lot of shows over the last 18 months discussing this pit bull ban here in Denver. You've actually spoken at several city councils regarding it. You've been asked by councilmen outside of the city council meetings about the pit bull and why it should or should not be on the breed ban list. And a very unfortunate act happened here in Denver almost 3 decades ago now. And because of that unfortunate one act, it has put this dog in such a bad light that no one is willing to revisit the situation. Yes, these dogs are exploited. Yes, these dogs are used for fighting. Yes, these dogs are used for aggressive types of training. But that does not mean that every one of them is a bad seed.
You know, I found it apropos that we live in the legalized pot capital of the world as well. We have more medical marijuana dispensaries in Denver than we do schools, than we do Starbucks, than we do McDonald's dang near. But for whatever reason, people can walk up and down the street token on a joint, but we have a problem with pit bulls.
Check that. They can't walk up and down the street doing that because that would be illegal. What they can do is purchase it, but that's a whole different topic. And the biggest problem with the pit bull ban here in Denver is that the animal control officers are doing their job. I'm not here to knock them, ever. But they are taught to identify pit bulls by certain criteria, and there's a lot of mixes out there that I have in my own classes that have been misidentified as pit bulls who are not. And it's a simple DNA test to say what the dog is or is not. And you know, those aren't 100% for dogs yet. There are so many dog breeds out there that you can get a number of different breeds out of what you might think you purchased as a purebred dog.
What I find more than appropriate, or a lack of appropriateness, should I say, is I have a fan on our Facebook page, facebook.com/DenverDogWorks, who had mentioned a while back when we were talking about the breed bans, she was driving through the city of Denver and the cops pulled her over. and confiscated her dog on the highway because of the pit bull ban.
Right, and that was an extreme case, and she had explained she was traveling through. She had no idea, no knowledge of the pit bull ban. A lot of people don't. We don't have signs at the border, at the city limits of Denver, that say no pit bulls.
So with that, with this very extreme breed ban here in Denver, what do you think about people that are attempting to keep these dogs in the city by registering them as service dogs?
Well, you know what? I think that that's taking a person that's got a lot of forethought. People that are registering their pit bulls as service dogs, you can't just go online. Well, you can. You can go online and just get a badge. But there's a lot of training that goes with that. And when you step into the world of service dogs, you are stepping into a world where you are breaking ethical lines and it's not right, because you're taking advantage of someone who actually needs the service of a dog. And you're making it where the businesses will look at all disabled people with dogs in a different light. Oh, do they really need their dog? My psychiatric service dog clients are coming up to that roadblock more than any other client. They don't look sick.
That's exactly right. But when you have a pit bull coming into an establishment with a vest on, and I'm looking here at your Denver Dog Trainers Examiner article, and we have a little pit bull dog looking almost sad at in the picture with his little vest on outside of a Walmart. What do you think about that, and what do you think that picture portrays?
Well, that particular picture portrays an article, and we kind of double-used the photograph here with permission, but it was an article about Walmart not allowing any service dogs in their facility, not just pit bulls, but it's a good topic to go into. A lot of businesses are disallowing service dogs for whatever reason. I know that you feel that pit bulls have no business being in service work, but at the same stroke, you took an animal rights continuing education course, and you sat right next to an attorney who said he's seen it all, from dogs to miniature horses and potbelly pigs, as service animals.
You know, the problem I have with the pit bull as a service dog is the drive that the dog has and the ability to perform its function as a appropriate service dog. The dogs that you typically see as service dogs, the Labradors, the Goldens, the Golden Doodles, the Labradoodles, the German Shepherds, all of those dogs are bred in particular ways to have particular traits. And as you guys know that are listening to this show, you know what the prototypical lab golden German Shepherd dog is in regards to what the typical pit bull is. They're entirely different genetic and or mental makeup, and the way that they are going to act and behave around not only their handlers, but also in public and around other animals as well.
And, you know, that brings up a very good point. I tell people all the time when they contact me about, ooh, I'm looking for a particular breed to perform a particular job. It's my same answer for anyone, whether it's a service dog or somebody signing their dog up for agility. You don't just go down to the local breeder and pick out a lab. You need to research the bloodlines, because labs are bred for two different distinctive jobs. They're bred to do hunting, and they're bred to do service work. So you're not going to go down to the local breeder and pick up a hunting dog and hope that you're going to be able to turn him into a service dog. Same with any other breed. German Shepherds I'm going to talk about, because that's the one that we breed the most for service work. And I have people constantly compare, well, what's the difference between a German Shepherd who can attack me as a police dog and a pit bull? A big difference. One is bred with bloodlines and history, and we're talking 100 years of history for doing police work and military work, versus one that is bred with the bloodlines following for service work. The temperament is completely different. Pit bull's temperament is not of sound quality for what you look for in service dogs. It's just not. A Staffordshire Terrier, on the other hand, if the breed is going back to what it was actually bred for, you could breed the lines back and do some service work with those dogs. But the Staffordshire Terrier has been broken down and broken down and broken down to today's pit bull, and that's where we have a lot of problems. A pit bull is a crossbreed. It's not a purebred dog.
Well, as everybody knows, pit bulls were bred and designed for one particular purpose, to fight. And when you have that genetic makeup, and I know we're going to get a lot of slack, and that's what we're encouraging. You can give us your comments at live@dogdoctorradio.com. That is our email. Or even give us a call at 303-578-9881. 303-578-9881. We would love to continue this conversation. But, you know, what I'm talking about is if a dog is bred for a particular thing, and that is to fight, whether they're the most meek and mild pit bull in the litter, if they're the best family dog that you've ever had, they are still bred to fight. And that's where you get into problems when you're talking about pit bulls as service dogs. I just don't think it's a good mix.
And you know, I agree to a point. But then I think of a very sweet dog that comes to us very often. His name is Jude.
Jude's a great dog, but the genetic makeup is still
Jude's a wonderful dog. He is a perfect family dog. He does his job, but he does his job well. If a squirrel comes in the yard, the squirrel is killed. Okay? Jude is not good enough to be a service dog, even though his temperament is correct. He can't do it because of his drives. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand. You're very much on one side of the fence on this issue, and I kind of waver right there and going back and forth too. I'm going to test the dog's temperament, and if the dog can do what the job is intended to do, that's great. But for the most part, and it's sad but true, I always let people know, this dog is going to get you ridiculed in public. Let's think about a dog that's not going to get you discriminated against. It's a sad but true world, people. You will be discriminated against for your choice of dog when you choose service dogs.
So, again, we would love to hear what you think. Make sure you give us a comment at live@dogdoctorradio.com or give us a call. Michelle will be happy to field those calls, 303-578-9881. Michelle, anything else in closing on this before we take a break?
No, I just hope that people are respectful when they give me a call and they don't bash me too badly. I am not an advocate for either side on this matter.
All right, we're going to take a break and be back and talk a little bit about something a little bit lighthearted. Michelle's going to tell you a little story about our little dog in training named Toby before we get into our next topic about animal abuse. We'll be right back.
Team Maneke is a professional Siberian Husky racing team located in Denver, Colorado and Duluth, Minnesota. Dr. Robert Forto and his team are training for their first Iditarod run in 2013. Team Maneke is seeking corporate and individual sponsors. For more information, visit our website at teammaneke.com. That's TEAMINEKA.com. Let's get back to the show. Must you, Huskies? Gee-haw!
And we are back on the Dog Doctor Radio Show, brought to you by Denver Dog Works and part of Swine Group Media. I'm here with my co-host, Michelle. We just finished up a very interesting topic about pit bulls, service dogs, and the breed ban. And I can tell you what, you can definitely tell where our defenses lie on that side of the fence. Michelle, do you care to sum that up real quickly?
Yeah, real quickly, anybody out there looking for a service dog, most of your professional service dog trainers are not going to consider the dog you currently have as appropriate for what you are asking the dog to do. So you really need to sit down and talk with somebody who knows the industry, who knows what it takes, so that you and your dog have a long working life together versus one that's filled with hassles.
So do you agree or disagree that pit bulls should become service dogs?
I don't offer an opinion on that because as a professional, I'm going to test the dog's temperament and capability for that of the job that it's being asked to do, any dog.
And one last time, we would love to hear your comments live at dogdoctorradio.com or give us a call, 303-578-9881. Or if you follow us on Twitter or Facebook, make sure you leave a comment there because this is a topic that a lot of people talk about. We receive a lot of commentary back and forth from people all over the country about this particular topic. And I tell you what, living in what we have quoted as being the pit bull prison of the world, Denver, Colorado, we have a little bit of a unique perspective on this compared to most people in the country. Michelle?
Absolutely. And, you know, more and more municipalities are considering doing these pit bull bans, but not just pit bulls. They're looking at banning other breeds, as had Colorado. I mean, not too long ago, German Shepherd was a banned breed here as well.
So let's switch topics a little bit. That's kind of heavy, and let's talk about another little German Shepherd dog that you're training. His name is Toby, and I know he's about 2 or 3 weeks now into a service dog training program for a young lady here in Denver. It's a psychiatric service dog training program. Michelle, do you care to tell us a little bit about Toby?
Yes, as I mentioned in our first segment, that I am writing a mini-series about Toby. Every dog has its day dog. And thank you again to Toby Keith for the song. Toby is unique. His owner rescued him, had him for about 32 days. Her mom called me and said, we need some help. We have a trainer, but she can't certify our dog as a service dog. Can you help us? And I said, absolutely, but I must do an evaluation. I do not accept any dog just because you say so into my service dog program. So we set up an appointment, got ready to do the evaluation, and lo and behold, Toby's owner had a little bit of an upsetting day, and she took him back to the Denver Dumfriends League, and I got a call from her mom who told me what happened. I said, let's continue. Let's keep this visit. I had a lot of things I wanted to teach your daughter about her new dog, not just having to do with service work, but I just wanted to do my duty and talk to her about training programs and things of the like, because she had gotten some bad information from the people that she had spoken to before. So we agreed. We got the dog back from the Denver Dumfriends League, and I'd like to, again, thank the ladies over there for stepping in and helping everybody out, because Toby truly is having his day. When I did his temperament testing, I can tell you all that he is probably one of the highest scoring on my temperament test for service work as a little German Shepherd mixed breed. I believe that he has some Siberian Husky in him just by the way that he carries his tail.
Yeah, no, Toby's going to be a really good little dog. He's at our house every night. That's where he sleeps. He doesn't sleep at Denver Dog Works because he is in service dog training.
Well, none of the dogs sleep at Denver Dog Works. That's why we only do 4 dogs.
Right.
But Toby's in a little bit different program. He does sleep in our room and things like that because he's in the service dog program. But it's also because Robert tells him every night, you know, I only like puppies for so long, and then when they get big, I don't like them anymore unless they're Siberian Huskies.
You know, he's a cute, smart little puppy, and I look forward to updating everybody on his progress. And you can follow him on the Denver Dog Training Examiner or on our Facebook page, Denver Dog Works, on Facebook.
Absolutely, and there are some pictures of him posted out there, and I try to keep a good update on his progress. And, you know, Toby's owner is in a situation where she thought she would be able to afford the training. It's about $380 a month for 18 months. And she's in a situation where she cannot afford the training. And I'm not a nonprofit organization, so anybody out there that can lend a hand, knows of how to get some fundraising going or some programming, give me a call, please, regarding Toby, 303-578-9881, so that we can continue his training and help out this young lady who is in dire need of a psychiatric service dog.
Well, thank you for your update on Toby. Now we're going to talk about how to spot an abused pet. As I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, we just don't sugarcoat things here on the Dog Doctor Radio Show. We talk about topics that mean the most to our dog owner friends throughout the world. And I think this is a very important subject to mention. It was in this month's Dog World magazine. If you're a true dog fancier, you don't get Sports Illustrated or Time magazine. You get Dog World. It's been a magazine that's been around since the early 1900s. And it is an excellent periodical to receive, and we do get it here at Denver Dog Works. So let's talk a little bit about how to spot an abused pet. As we say all the time, there are many a people out there that will do just about anything for their dogs, you know, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars at daycare and boarding and on treats and dog care. But there is another a class of people out there that could care less, and that's where abuse comes in.
Well, maybe not care less, but just it's an entirely different way of thinking about animals and society. Some of these people that abuse their animals, remember we talked to our friend with fearful dogs, they're you know, the dog hoarders and things like that, those people don't know that they're harming those pets or abusing those pets. They think that they're loving them. So there are two different sides of the spectrum here as far as out-and-out abuse, you know, somebody kicking their dog, to hoarding them in situations where there's too many to take care of. And you know, you see the stories all the time on Animal Planet. Those people have gotten to a point in their lives and their world where they're mentally unstable and they're harming those animals, but they don't see it any longer.
Well, we're not talking about animal hoarding here. We're talking about out and out abuse. And as you mentioned on Animal Planet, they have a series that's been going on for dang near a decade called Animal Cops. And that's all about what happens to these poor animals. And again, I am not a hardcore animal rights activist or a PETA person. I am just somebody that sees dogs in all forms and all makeups. And unfortunately, quite a few of the dogs that I do see are from neglected and or abused homes, and luckily they're now rescued through a very caring and loving rescue network, not only here in Colorado but throughout the nation. And so many of these dogs have been tormented their entire lives that they have to literally be trained from the ground up.
Absolutely, and we hear too many stories like that. And you know, a lot of it is, and I'm not trying to give anybody an excuse, but a lot of it's ignorance.
So let's talk about the signs of animal abuse. Number one, a collar is so tight it has caused a neck wound or is embedded into the pet's neck. Number two, open wounds, signs of multiple healed wounds, or an ongoing injury or illness that is not being treated. Three, untreated skin conditions causing loss of hair, scaly skin, bumps, or rashes. Number four, extreme thinness or emaciation. Number five, fur infested with fleas, ticks, or other parasites. And number six, weakness, limping, or an inability to stand or walk normally. Now, granted, a lot of these things will come from, you know, your basic run-of-the-mill dog that spends quite a bit of time outdoors with fleas and ticks and you know, that sort of thing. But we're talking about the out-and-out signs of abuse here, and we're encouraging everybody to learn what abuse is and what, you know, it, just like with our children, it's not black and white. There is all sorts of gray in terms of animal abuse.
So when do you recommend that, you know, the neighbor looks over the fence and sees Max tied up to the tree day after day, and there's a 5-gallon bucket of water there that's never changed out, and day after day he sees the same dog on the same chain, and the collar's never changed, and the dog's never brushed, he's never walked, nobody pays attention to him. When does the neighbor step in?
And that's the exact point where we're going to talk about the environmental factors of abuse. Number one, pets tied up for long periods of time without adequate food or water.
Or shade.
Number two, pets kept outside in inclement weather with or without adequate shelter. And they say with or without. What some person perceives as adequate shelter may not be adequate shelter for a dog. And a good point to that is there are many dogs that will not use a doghouse. So that is not necessarily adequate shelter. And with the doghouse, if you're living in a very humid or high temperature climate, a doghouse can literally be a sauna.
Absolutely. And it's also not acceptable shelter just to have a shade tree. Sometimes dogs need a lean-to or some other sort of shade and wind protectant other than their doghouse. And a lot of dogs are afraid to go in their doghouses. You know, maybe the owner did some other type of abuse and beat it with a stick while it was in the doghouse.
And the last environmental factor in regarding abuse is pets are kept in an area littered with feces, garbage, or other harmful materials. And that can be just about anything. That can be, now just think about it, guys, that can be the old car parts laying around in the yard. That could be the construction lumber with nails sticking out of it. All sorts of things can be environmental hazards, paint cans, insecticides, all those sorts of things can constitute a problem for the dog and its health and welfare.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. We all have the right to own an animal in this country. So what gives you the wherewithal, opinion, or right to discuss how my yard is set up if it doesn't have grass, if it doesn't have what you are calling adequate shelter for my dog? What gives you the right to say that?
Well, we're going to talk about that in just a second, but what necessarily gives a person the right is the well-being of the animal. And if you watch enough of those Animal Cops shows on Animal Planet, or you visit enough homes as a trainer and or as a pet sitter or any of those types of things, let me take that back a little bit. Often you will not visit a home with an animal abuser as a trainer or as a pet sitter or anything like that. These people most of the time do not care about the welfare of their animals, so therefore they don't care about the training. Their idea of having a pet is literally just having an animal out back. And these guys are not farm animals. These guys are not non-domesticated animals. These are our best friends. This is what has brought us this connection for well over 20,000 years.
Absolutely. But, you know, our show is give and take. I am not into people that are mistreating their pets at all. I need everybody to understand that. But it's my job to kind of give Robert some questions that are going to be coming from the other side. And that is, my dog guards my property.
That doesn't constitute abuse.
No, but I choose to make him stay in the backyard so he guards my property. What's wrong with that?
I believe that if the dog is well taken care of, if he has adequate food and shelter, if he is handled as a pet, meaning he is part of the family, we're not talking about the junkyard dog here that's left in the the car lot at night. We're talking about dogs that are pets of ours, and most of the dogs, if not all, are bred as pets. Very few of the dog population is quote-unquote working dogs and working stock, meaning they're working on a consistent basis. And when you're thinking of perimeter dogs, you're thinking of protection dogs, you're thinking of guarding dogs if they're working on a farm, herding dogs, etc. That's what we're talking about in such a minute percentage of dog ownership in America.
And what percentage do you think nationalities are abusing their dogs? Is it across the board, or are we talking about different types of nationalities who have different backgrounds in how dogs are supposed to be? You and I have a lot of clients that come from Europe, Hungary, and those areas where dogs just don't come inside. They're not incorporated as part of the family as we treat dogs here in America. And Denver is a very diverse city. There's a lot of people here, and a lot of the rest of the country doesn't realize that. We have a lot of people from other countries that they just don't feel the same way about pets as we do.
Most of the world, in fact, do not treat their pets as we do here in America. And I remember one client in particular. She was from Argentina, and her husband, she had lived here longer than he, and her husband used to tell me stories about how they took care of their dogs in Argentina, and literally none of them came into the house. None of them were, quote-unquote, the family pet, but they were the family dog, meaning that they hung around the property, they just kind of fed them scraps and did their thing, but they weren't the prototypical family pet living inside in the lap of luxury, laying at your feet while you're watching Monday Night Football.
Oh, and everybody should know, Flash got a very good training foundation with Denver Dog Works and me personally, and they did go ahead and move back to Argentina, and he is living the lap of luxury in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, as a matter of fact, and he is the most popular dog on the block, from what I understand. All the other dogs are jealous of Flash.
So, you know, again, that's not talking about abuse here, whether one nationality keeps their dog outside versus inside. We're talking about the extremes here. We're talking about all those steps that we mentioned about severe dehydration, heat stroke with dogs in inclement weather, either in good weather or bad, being stuck outside all the time, being stuck on a chain or tied up to a tree or on barren ground. And one of the most extreme cases of abuse that I've ever seen is a dog that lived on a concrete slab of about 2 feet by 2 feet and could not go anywhere except turn around, and that's where he lived 24 hours a day.
Right, and you know, I think that the biggest thing that we see too is we see the end result. We see the person that went and rescued this dog from the shelter that was, you know, cleaned up and wounds were healed, and they went and rescued this dog, and thank God for that. But we see the result of all of the bad socializing and the mistreatment, and it comes out in a lot of very scary ways. The dog is dog-on-dog aggression. The dog has human-dog aggression. The dog has aggression towards children. Maybe the dog is afraid of its own shadow. There's all kinds of things that play into this that unfortunately keep you in business. But at the same time, it's very, very sad because it's totally unnecessary.
That's exactly right. So let's switch gears once again and talk about what is on the table to happen to some of these abusers. Excuse me. In the current issue of Dog World magazine, there is a sidebar article concerning Animal Abuser Registry. And I found this very intriguing. The Animal Legal Defense Fund is making a nationwide push to track animal abusers in a similar manner as they do sex offenders. Through its Expose Animal Abusers campaign, the Animal League Defense Fund of Cotati, I believe it is, California, is seeking to establish registries in every state of anyone convicted of felony animal abuse. Crimes that typically qualify as felonies include torture, mutilation, murder, sexual abuse, animal fighting, and hoarding. Such a registry, the ALDF says, would help stop animal abusers from adopting and or buying animals. Quote, "We operate shelters in hopes of giving abandoned animals a second chance at loving homes, not subjecting them to the lives of continued abuse and neglect," says Senator Dean Flores of California, who introduced the bill earlier this year that would establish a statewide registry through a pet food tax.
That's a wonderful idea, and he's talking about all animals, correct?
Yes,
not just dogs.
I believe he's talking about all animals. And just to give everybody a heads up, similar bills were previously reintroduced in Rhode Island, our home state of Colorado, Tennessee, but none of them passed. States already keep public databases for certain types of convicted offenders. An animal abuse registry would operate using the same framework. For more information, please visit the Animal Legal Defense Fund, and it is www.exposeanimalabusers.org.
You know, what I find very interesting is that, unfortunately, we still consider dogs livestock. And I'm against the mistreatment of all animals, not just dogs, but until that identification changes and people are put under more scrutiny, there's always going to be, sadly, these abusers. My only question is, here in Denver, is it not true, or at least here in Colorado, is it not true that it's very difficult to get a felony conviction on somebody for animal abuse?
It is. Here in Colorado, it is often just a misdemeanor for somebody that has a animal abuse conviction, and a misdemeanor, as you guys know, literally means slap on the wrist and or probation or community service. But again, I'm not jumping on the animal abuse bandwagon. What I'm talking about is education and awareness. If a person is abusing animals, they ought to be stopped. Just recently here in Colorado, Governor Bill Ritter signed into law a bill that specifically says that courts must incorporate a family pet in every restraining order. So
they're also being incorporated into divorce cases and custody cases where people are having to share custody of the pets.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if a husband or wife gets a restraining order on their partner and there is a family pet involved, that pet can be and will be included in a restraining order, meaning that they cannot have any contact with the family pet during that time of the restraining order. And the reasoning behind that is oftentimes if there is animal or human abuse, there is typical animal abuse during that same time or a precursor to that. And one of the reasons why this bill was passed is so many animal owners or dog owners or pet owners or whatever that are in abusive homes are afraid to leave because of what they think their partner, who whether it be husband, wife, or other life-type partner, will do to their dog. So they're forced to stay in an abusive home because of their pet.
Absolutely. And, you know, that brings up a big thing here in Denver, and not just in Denver, but more and more people don't have children. And they still are involved in abusive relationships, and it could be male or female being the abuser. And in the past, women wouldn't leave because they were afraid for their kids. And now they don't have kids, so now they're afraid to leave because of the dog or the cat. The person might harm my dog or my cat. And it's a very real thing.
You know, one of the most extreme cases here in Colorado was very recent. A young lady was distraught with her boyfriend and decided to take it out on the family dog. And what she ended up doing was taping this little puppy to the refrigerator with duct tape to send a message, quote-unquote message, to her boyfriend that, you know, that
it's
her...
It's me or the dog, apparently.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about, folks. That's what we're talking about with animal abuse. And this is something that needs to be stopped, and we encourage you guys' feedback on this. And as we've said all along, this is a very controversial show today, and we look forward to feedback. You can do it on Facebook. You can do it on Twitter. You can do it here on blogtalkradio.com/dogworks. Send us a message at live@dogdoctorradio.com. We look forward to hearing from you. We've talked about this a lot, and I think this is a topic that needs to be brought out to the forefront immediately.
Yeah, and just one more thing. At least I know here in Denver, a lot of the shelters for women and for men and for families are taking in the family pet along with you when you become, unfortunately, homeless. So that is something to consider. You don't have to stay in an abusive relationship ever. Your pet can make it and can be safe. Some of the local shelters for pets are even taking them in for short periods of time so that you can get away and you can get safe.
So what are you guys' thoughts on this National Registry for Animal Abusers? I find that a very unique concept. We receive a lot of input, especially here in Colorado, about a sex offender registry. We hear about it all the time on the news about, you know, human sex offenders doing one thing or another, then getting caught up and doing something else. What do you think about these types of abusers that do it to animals? And if there is a national registry where, you know, John Smith is on this registry for animal abuse in California, and then he moves to Nebraska and tries to buy a dog. And you know, when he buys this dog, a check is done very similar to as if he's buying a firearm, and there's John Smith on this registry, and he is not allowed to buy this dog. Now, of course, there's a black market out there, and you can buy dogs on the corner. You can buy them at the, you know, out of the back of the car at Walmart. But if there's a national registry of these abusers, I think it would curb some of the problems that we're dealing with for these serial animal abusers.
You know, that's what I'm questioning, too, is we seem to have a problem even keeping track of our serial sex offenders. It seems to me like it would not be too difficult if you were, you know, sick enough that you were a serial animal abuser, that you would be able to go out there and find a pet at any time, or at least have a friend go buy you one.
And as you guys know, if you know anything about human psychology, typically animal abuse is the precursor to something more extreme. Most of the serial killers out there throughout history started out as animal abusers. If you think about the serial killers throughout history, one that what comes to mind is Jeffrey Dahmer. He was a serial animal abuser. He used to keep pets in his dresser drawers that he would dissect at his parents' house before he became a serial killer. So that's what we're talking about, guys. This is, yes, it's our family pet. It is our best friend. But there are sick people out there, and that's what we're trying to educate everybody about and hope to get the word out and see what we can do to stop this madness.
And you know what you can do if you think you are witnessing animal abuse? Don't get in there on your own. Simply call your local animal control, your local police department. I wouldn't recommend calling 911 unless it's an extreme emergency. But you call your local police department and you report that you are concerned for this pet and that you would like a home check done, and that's what they will do. It's the same. It's becoming the same as placing a complaint against a child.
You know, I tell you what, this is probably the heaviest show that we've done in well over a year, and this isn't something that we like to talk about, but I think it's something, again, that we need to talk about, and we usually keep it kind of light here on the Dog Doctor Radio Show. We talk about canine sports and dogs that we're training and things that are going on, but just sometimes things catch my eye, and this is what we need to talk about, and that is the beauty of a radio show like this. We are not controlled or constricted and or censored about what we can mention, and anybody can say anything that they want, positive or negative, and that's what we're here for. Believe me, I have thick skin, and I can take whatever you want to say, so I encourage you guys to keep this discussion alive. Michelle, what do you want to close with?
You know, I want to close with the fact that it takes a village to raise a child. It still takes a village to train a dog.
So there you go. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show. I have a 4 o'clock in the morning flight tomorrow, so we're out of here very quickly. As we say every week here on the show, never forget your dreams. We'll see you next week. We're talking about Bark World Expo in Atlanta, Georgia in August.
We'll be hearing about California and your wonderful little trip on the back of a cart.
There you go. So we'll talk to you next week. Dog Doctor Radio, see ya.